Welcome to the Reading for Success podcast, a production of Success League Radio. This podcast focuses on customer success and leadership books, provides an overview of each, and gives you an honest assessment of whether or not they are worth your time. Welcome to the podcast. Hi, I'm Kristen Hayer.
And I'm Russell Bourne, and we are the co-hosts of Reading for Success. We also both work for the Success League, a boutique customer success consulting and training firm based in San Francisco.
And today we're reviewing an article called Managing Up When Leadership is Stuck in the Weeds. It's written by Ian Gross and Samir Ranavat, both go-to-market growth leaders. You can find it in Harvard Business Review online in August 2022. So, Russell, let's dive in. Can you give us an overview of this article? I had high hopes for this article. I really did. So tell us what it's all about.
I did too. So this article aims to solve the problem of what happens when senior leaders get so interested in a project that they get into detail that's too fine. And so the senior leaders are well-intended, but according to the article, what happens is getting into all those details derails and delays a project's big picture goals. So the authors used an example of a frontline leader who came up with some sort of a platform to help salespeople prioritize opportunity. But then when they tried to roll it out, the senior leaders started arguing about what the data points should be and systems issues. And so the authors recommended sort of a three-step plan to overcoming that. So number one would be work with the end users. So in other words, they worked with the salespeople and had them use this tool that hadn't really gotten the green light from executive leadership. And they felt that if the users would give good feedback and that maybe they could show results, that the executive leaders would maybe drop some of their questions about the data. So the second idea was to sell the big picture. So instead of assuming that an executive leader has buy-in and going into project management mode with like a Gantt chart, instead, you just focus on the end-level pain that your project is helping to solve. And so in this example, it was salesperson employee churn. Uh-huh. And then finally, they recommend to create self-service content. So maybe if leaders in this example had questions about data integrity, that maybe you could put a data integrity answer in an FAQ and let them read it on their own so that when you get to a meeting, maybe they won't ask you. So that's the article overview. I would love to hear if you had things that you like from this article, Kristen.
It's probably obvious. I did not love this article. I thought that it was annoying. It was simplistic. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. But what I did like about it is they're tackling something that's real and does happen, which is that senior leaders, because most senior leaders came from being junior leaders and came from being practitioners, have opinions about the details of a project. So, I mean, the premise of this article is brilliant because that does happen. I think that the article could have been simplified into, hey, do an agile project plan and have a sprint once a week and then iterate on it. And that would have come to the same conclusion that the authors came to. So I think that the premise is cool. I think that the actual practical advice is limited, a little ill-informed, and not based in much data. So I have a lot of problems with this article, but meanwhile, what were the highlights for you?
Yeah, not to jump ahead to what I didn't like. So this is basically change management in reverse, right? They're suggesting grassroots change. And that can work. I do like the idea that if you just take a project and run with it and you can show some results, maybe that's a good way to get the foot in the door of that project. I read this article thinking, so they're talking about what if you're a junior leader in your organization and you're trying to sell an idea to senior leadership, which is a totally valid thing to use this for. I was thinking if you're a CSM and you're having trouble getting to a decision maker at your customer's company, could you run the same sort of a thing with your end user contacts at the company? I don't know. I'll have to think through that a little bit more.
Yeah. I think the intention of this article was really, really good. The idea is something we need to talk about. And the execution of the article was poor. And what's funny about this is it's about execution, and it's about how do you execute on something when, you know, your senior leadership is partially bought in, but not entirely really bought in. You know, we've done as a team our strengths finder stuff. You and I are both executors. We like to execute on stuff. There's other people on our team who don't like that, or it's not their strength. So I think it's funny that you and I are the ones that are reviewing this, because I think we're the ones that are probably the most practical about how do you actually do this. And I just don't think these two leaders have it. I don't. So, I mean, maybe the next thing we talk about is what we did not like about it. So I'd love to hear what you didn't like about it.
Yeah, definitely. So as I was reading this, I was just thinking there's two kinds of people, right? There's ask for forgiveness and ask for permission. And if you're an ask for permission person and you're reading this, what they're suggesting feels really unnatural. And so my advice would be, don't go against your nature then. Don't take the advice in the article. I think that if you go off script and you run a whole shadow project, you're probably taking your time away from the goals that your leadership team has set for you. And that's a really risky thing to do, because you better hit your goals. And if you don't, and they figure out that you were working on something else, it's a really, really bad look. And it's frankly probably grounds for moving on.
Yeah. You can just say it. You could get fired for doing that. Yeah. It's our podcast. We can say what we want, Russell.
Yeah.
You can get
I wish that they would acknowledge that. I would not want anyone to read this article and get fired for following the advice.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like it's oversimplified. And the example they use is a really very clear-cut example of leaders getting down into the weeds when they probably really shouldn't. You know, leaders getting stuck for small reasons versus leaders getting stuck for big, legitimate reasons are really different. This was an example that was small reasons, right? The leaders were getting caught up in the sales process, right? Okay, that's not a big deal. You know, leaders getting stuck because of legitimate things like economic challenges or financial burdens on the company or lack of resources, like those are real. And they didn't touch on any of that at all. And so those big picture reasons, I think, don't get really addressed here. And I think they should. And I also, you know me, I like articles that have a lot of data. This had no data. It was completely anecdotal. And that really bothered me.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that. So what should you do instead? I would say, think of this as a sales cycle, right? And there's really a fine line between sales and change management. So if you have an idea for how to improve a sales process, then talk through the pain with that leader. And if your idea would solve that pain, then they will buy into it without you running a shadow campaign.
Yeah. I mean, like really just, yeah, don't do stuff without your boss knowing about it. I mean, that's kind of like, don't screw up 101. So I don't know if these two folks who wrote this article have worked much in a real life business, but you just don't do that. I mean, it's not a good plan. So anyway, I was a little disappointed by this article, but I think your advice is really good. So bottom line, do we think this article is worth the time?
Only to learn what not to do.
Exactly. I agree with that. So we're excited to share that our next episode of Reading for Success will be back into a full book review again. And the book that we're going to review next is called The Customer Education Playbook, How Leading Companies Engage, Convert, and Retain Customers. And this is by Barry Kelly and Daniel Quick, who work for Thought Industries. Barry is the CEO. And Daniel is the SVP of content strategy there. So I'm excited to learn more about customer education, learn how that's a part of delivering a successful journey. And I have high, high hopes for this book.
As do I. As do I. We also want to let you know that Reading for Success is a part of Success League Radio, a podcast channel focused on customer success. We encourage you to check out the other shows on our channel. Innovations in Leadership features in-depth interviews with CS leaders, and we have a new show in collaboration with Gainsight called CS Essentials. Reading for Success also features author interviews sometimes. Maybe we'll get one of the two gentlemen that you just named for a future episode.
I think that that would be a really probably easy thing for us to do.
Yeah.
So we should do that. Yes, absolutely.
All right. And then over the coming year, we'll probably introduce another show or two to help you with some ideas and content to further your customer success life.
So if you like Reading for Success, I'd like to ask you for a favor. Share our show on social media. Help us get the word out to the CS community. There are a lot of podcasts out there now, and we want to continue to produce great content. And to do that, we need the support of our amazing customer success colleagues. With that, I'll say goodbye for now.
All right. Goodbye, Kristen.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join Reading for Success next time.